Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello there and welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast, the only reason I change my clothes. I'm joined today here by Ewan. Ewan, how are you today?
I'm really good, man. I also changed my clothes.
Oh, that's nice. And Josh, I see you've changed your jumper.
No, I've been wearing this since last week. Sleeping in it, eating in it. There is below where you can see just a load of spaghetti stains. So I'm not going to join this cloth-changing narrative you two have concocted at all. But I'm also pleased to be here.
I mean, you don't want to see what's below these frames. Anyway, so there's been a lot of remakes out like recently, you know, with the Resident Evil 2 remake that came out last year, Resident Evil 3 remake, which was very high acclaimed and everyone loved it, and then the Final Fantasy VII remake. And I just was thinking, like, you know, remake. What game would you like to have remade next? And so I've just posed, got you two here to pose the question.
Lovely word salad, that.
Yeah, no, I love remaking. Remaking things is great. I'll remake everything.
We don't want new stuff, do we? We don't want new things. We just want to keep the same old stuff rotating forever.
Yeah. I want to be reminded of things I loved back in the day. You know, I don't want original creative ideas. I want my nostalgia to be fed.
Exactly. It's like what they say, what's the point in new things when you can just have what you already know and never leave your comfort zone, which is the best thing that you can have.
Especially during these times, man. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've been revisiting like old games, old movies during, you know, obviously being inside, and it has been really comforting. I've got to tell you, like you said, Ben Roy, to an extent, every single new game I've played this year has been a remake in some form. Doom Eternal, even though that's obviously, you know, new content, it's still kind of based on Doom 2 Hell on Earth. Then I've been playing, like you said, Resident Evil 3. I've been playing Final Fantasy VII. So. For me, I'm all in on remakes. I think they can be done well when they're done well, if that makes sense. If they're more than just kind of a port, if they're a real reimagining of what the original IP is or was, I'm always excited to see what the creatives do with it, because when it comes to the gaming industry, unlike, you know, movies or TV or literature or whatever, I feel like the gaming technology that we use, it's always progressing, it's always being updated, new things are being added that games simply couldn't do 20 years ago. So for me, it's particularly interesting to see original creatives who worked on those original games coming back with the new technology, with new ideas, 20 years of hindsight or whatever, and then delivering something that doesn't replace the original but sits alongside it as an alternate experience.
I was also going to say as well is that remakes are really handy if you find older games slightly impenetrable. You know, obviously, as opposed to film or TV, where you can access them in a plethora of different ways. You know, video games are kind of sometimes restricted to the platform that they're on. Obviously, we have emulators and, you know, different things that you can get on PC or whatever. But, you know, a lot of these games, a lot of the time, if you were like, if you're like me, who like moved from like the parents' house halfway across the country, my old Xbox is all the way down in Liverpool. I'm all the way up here with just the PlayStation 4. So there are certain titles that I missed that I would love to get remade so that I could reapproach, and also stuff that I don't necessarily have any kind of attachment to but would love to approach from a fresh perspective, like and ways that, you know, games that you should like on paper but then never got around to playing them because there was some sort of mechanic that you didn't like that is now very much not part of the here and now that the remake could change. So yeah, I'm very much here for gaming remakes. Yeah.
That's probably the best reason to have a remake. You know, you just hit the nail on the head there. Like, if you think back to the PS1 era where everything was good then, but now it's kind of like on fire, and do you really want to play these games that controlled awfully? Or, you know, do you want to go back and play RE2 in a certain perspective, or do you want to play the remake? I mean, RE2 back in the day was excellent, and I think still is to some point, but if you have someone like who's coming into gaming now, it's going to be like a weird step, like, even though it's not, it's hard to say, but a step back for them sort of people.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I tried playing Metal Gear Solid 3. I got the Metal Gear Solid HD collection, and I remember that being a massive shock to my system, having been raised on the Splinter Cell, and then going over to that and then having to aim with a directional pad, and Snake's just there going eh. And it was like controlling some sort of really bad, like, circus ground robot. He's this highly trained secret agent, and he can't aim for anything. He's really bad.
And well, just the concept, sorry, of like auto saving, which wasn't a thing until, what, like, say, 10 years ago, if that.
It's easy for, you know, people who are perhaps a little bit older like us to look back on these games and say, well, that's just the way it was. It doesn't make them bad. But if you've grown up accustomed to a certain sort of comfort, like you said, when it comes to things like autosaves or, you know, even the ability to move around the camera without it freaking out and going into your character's face, it can be hard and, like Ewan said, a bit impenetrable to go back and try to appreciate them on their own terms, because those terms have changed so much. So I do like the option. And when it came to Final Fantasy VII, for instance, I hadn't played the original, and I jumped straight into the remake and had a bloody good time. But then I want to go back to the original now, you know what I mean? That's got its claws in me. It's made me attached to the world and the characters and what they did, that I want to go back and experience it. And genuinely, I might not have done that had I not played the remake first. So I don't buy in. I want to stress this before we jump into our picks. I don't buy into the idea that remakes replace the original. If anything, it can make those originals, you know, seem even more impressive and hold them up to an even higher level, because it retroactively, you know, gets people interested in a way that they might not have been before.
Yeah, I mean, you've hit it on the head there. Like, I think you should go back and play the original games that we're going to mention today, but at the same time, it's just like, say, going to someone else. Imagine a time before Amazon Prime. You had to wait weeks for your stuff to be delivered. It's just people are accustomed to a new way of playing. And again, with what Ewan said, like, it just, the things play differently now. But at the same time, there's always room to, like, say, one of my main reasons for this is the games I've picked is the atmosphere in these games can be so better realized now, like, say, RE2 remake compared to RE2 original. Like, just imagine what some engines can do now and just really flesh out that world to what our young brains imagined back in the day. But I want to pose this first to you, Ewan, and see what the first game you had on your list was.
This is a really probably controversial pick, but something that I think will resonate with fans of Red Dead, and it is Red Dead Redemption, the one that released in 2010. I know it's literally only 10 years old this year, but going through Red Dead Redemption 2 story again at the moment, and, you know, playing as John Marston in the epilogue and going through New Austin and just seeing Mexico just right across the river, and you just want to go in and jump in. And to me, even though I think there are certain elements of Red Dead 2's gameplay that wouldn't necessarily gel with the first game, I do think that Rockstar could certainly, you know, with this new version that they have of New Austin, and I assume that there are different bits of Mexico that they have mapped out, you know, I don't see any reason why they couldn't just go, you know what, we'll remake Red Dead Redemption and we'll package it with Red Dead Redemption 2, and then that'll be the one big, like, Dutch Vanderland gang story. I think that would be amazing. Obviously, you have the voice actors there. Technically, there are, you know, I've heard stories of how that game was cobbled together on bits of tweed and string, and it all just somehow worked. So I think there's definitely, you know, there's incentive to go back and remake that game. And I think given the technology that they have with Red Dead 2 and how much the gameplay influenced the narrative in that game compared to the first, I think there's definitely, you know, cause to actually go back and do it. And I would absolutely gobble up a Red Dead 1 remake, even if it is quite new.
It's funny you should mention that, Ewan, because I've been going through, like you, I went through Red Dead 2 at the start of the year, then I jumped straight into Red Dead Redemption 1 because I haven't played that game since it came out back in 2010. I wanted to see how it held up. And in my opinion, it does and it doesn't. Like, the world is so great, and that hasn't changed, and the gameplay itself is quite fun. But when it comes to the story, for me, and this might be controversial, but I think Red Dead 2 kind of surpassed it in a lot of ways and fleshed out that world in a way that Red Dead 1 wasn't totally focused on. A lot of that game, especially like the first 10 or 15 hours, is kind of just John Marston out there, and you don't really know why he's
herding cattle.
He is, and that's fine. But I feel like if they did go back, they could drop a few more hints to link the games a bit more. They are obviously, you know, direct sequels and prequels, but I feel like you could, you know, perhaps mix some things in there about Arthur, for instance, who's a character who isn't mentioned at all in the first game, and kind of make that connection even stronger. It doesn't necessarily need it, I don't think. I do think both of them still stand on their own, but, like, you could, and that is perhaps tantalizing enough. Like you said, the map is already there. You get like nostalgic chills just walking around key locations from 1 in the world of 2. So it's almost like, you know, I don't know, because it could happen. I want it to happen because we've kind of seen what it could look like and what it could feel like. I feel like I've already imagined it in my head. So if you don't mind, Rockstar, if you're watching this, give me it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if any of you ever saw they had owned the collection of The Godfather. It was the first two movies, but they were cut together, so it was all in chronological order. My parents were absolutely obsessed with it growing up, like when I was growing up, rather. And like that, to me, imagine just going from Red Dead Redemption 2 and then playing it in order to get to the game that released 10 years ago and just having one seamless, you know, just like narrative going through. I think that would be incredible to experience.
Yeah, I always thought that they might do some sort of like DLC because, as you said, like the map, part of the map is just down there. So why did you make all that just simply for a tiny part of the story, like in the greater aspects? Like, was it just there just to add a bit to it, or like online or anything like that? I really sort of puzzled. But then again, it just seems like they just go, nah, we're just going to keep making this until we think it's done.
yeah, we don't care if no one's gonna see half of this stuff. It looks bloody good and we're proud of it. It is like that idea of getting to the end of a prequel and expecting kind of wanting the first game that it precedes to also be there. That's a feeling I've had with Metal Gear Solid 5, for instance. I think a lot of people thought that game was going to end with a retelling of the original Metal Gear, not Metal Gear Solid, like Metal Gear. Because obviously, like the jump in technology between that game and MGS5 is huge. And for me, I was a little bit disappointed that when that didn't happen. Obviously, who knows if that was the original plan because of the whole Kojima Konami thing. But I think, you know, presenting those old experiences and then attaching it onto something that gives it more meaning, it doesn't. They're rare when that happens. Like it's a rare moment, but it's a potential gold mine that I think hasn't really been, you know, exploited as much as it can be.
Yeah, I was going to do a nice little segue from one Rockstar property to another, because you in saying Red Dead makes me just think of like the Rockstar catalog and what they own, and I would really like to see Max Payne like sort of revisioned. In even like from any engine, just imagine Max Payne in the RE engine, for example, how dirty and dingy that game could be.
Max Payne did pop into my head actually when I was thinking of different things I'd like to see remastered, because I love Max Payne 3 and I love the flashback. My favorite bits of that game are the flashback segments where, you know, it's still him in New York. So yeah, I mean, Max Payne remastered would be incredible. I would love that.
It's just kind of thinking, you're saying those flashbacks are kind of like what we almost could have had. I'm like, oh, just give me the actual Max Payne. I like this new Max Payne, but give me the old one as well.
I just want more Max Payne in general, man. Like whether it's a sequel or a remake or whatever. I went back again because I've been playing all these old games. I went back to the original Max Payne. In the core shooting of that game, surprisingly, still holds up. It's still so satisfying to blow fools away in slow motion. But you are absolutely spot on. The dripping atmosphere that's already in that game could be increased massively in like a new engine with their, you know, Rockstar's now signature presentation. I know a lot of, you know, I don't want to overlook Remedy's you know, impact on those original games, but I do think you could take what's already there and spruce it up. I don't think that has to be a major remake. I don't think that has to be, you know, on the level of Resident Evil 2 or Resident Evil 3.
Yeah.
What's there is great. Just make it look prettier and tweak a few of the bugs, and then you would have a winner.
and probably make it less harsher and like add an autosave or two, because there are a lot of moments in that game when they're just man with shotgun and you're dead and you have to remember next time the man with the shotgun is around the corner, so you better be ready sort of thing. But like, just, it's so sort of like the lighting in that game is just so sort of like, I know it's like an apartment block for a lot of it, like just bland and sort of like there, which you would expect, but like just add bits where a few corridors have a flashing light or something like that, and then there's drips that you can hear a distance, like say of some sort of like fire extinguisher like has gone off, anything like that, just little nuances that would just like really flesh out this sort of like horrible mess that Max has found himself in, and really bring you through the grittiness of New York. And just imagine also those dream sequences reimagined into something more fun.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned like the little destruction that you could add in. I think that's one of the things that makes Max Payne 3 such an enjoyable shooter, because that game world isn't really responsive, but the amount of little touches in its destruction tech really does make those firefights feel like really intense. Like when you've got shootouts in office blocks, and you can see the papers whirling around, or like the bullets coming through, desks and stuff. I always love that kind of stuff when it comes to shooters. And the original Max Payne's to an extent had some of it, but like what they could do now and have all of those like particle effects going off and have all of those small details that make what could be just a bland, like you said, office building really pop, or apartment block really pop. Man, like I wasn't sure about that coming in, but you've kind of convinced me with it, I think.
After playing, playing Quantum Break for the first time, just seeing what other little bits of lore they could drop in there as well. Give me an AWE tag in there somewhere. But Josh, I want to know what your game is, your first game in this list.
Well, keeping on a similar theme, I suppose, I want to go back and see Silent Hill 1 be remade, because it still holds up to an extent. It is kind of crude in what they were trying to achieve at the time. I don't think it's as well polished as something like the original Resident Evil 1, for instance, which, you know, looks pretty bad but still plays pretty well to this day. I think there's so much potential in that first game, because it does kind of feel like it was hobbled together in spite of its own limitations and still ended up being an astounding, really scary title that you could bring that to the forefront in the same way that you've done Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, even the Resident Evil remake, and kind of update that for modern audiences. The fact that we've had no real Silent Hill remakes so far is something that I just don't get. Like, does Konami not like money? Like, what's their problem? I don't know.
There was that god-awful HD collection which like ruined parts of some
God,
of the games.
Yeah, I remember that. Because it was the visibility, wasn't it? You know, part of the horror of those early games is that they were affected by the limitations of the technology. So the lack of visibility is something that always stands out to me about Silent Hill. So I guess that would be one of the challenges you'd get with a remake. But then again, that gives them more power to control what the player can and can't see. And, you know, those games, even when they kind of look so dodgy at times, probably some of the most atmospheric games I've ever like addressed, like up there with Dead Space for me, is like something that I got so gripped in, and it gets in your head and it's so good. Something that messed around with sound. Imagine if you had like, you know, a full remake that could really go to town on like how you get all the different sounds going in and out of your ears, which is something we saw kind of with PT. But yeah, I would love a Silent Hills remake.
Sorry, Ben Roy.
I was just going to say, and like you think they had the Fox engine, which we got Metal Gear 5 and the critically acclaimed fence pokey game at Metal Gear Survive. I mean, like, it's just sitting there waiting to be used for something else. Just to bring these games, like, these games are hard to get hold of now. Like, if anything, like you said at the top of the show, like, help us like keep games accessible and like going forward, and especially these consoles now, apparently everything's going to go forward forever. Like, get them into the loop before they fall out and they fall too far for a while.
Yeah, like, definitely, because I feel like a lot of games in the Silent Hill franchise still hold up, you know, untouched. If you go back and play Silent Hill 2 now, especially, I wouldn't remake that, because to me that's almost perfect. The atmosphere is still there, it still looks pretty gorgeous, and the wonkiness that it might have to it, whether it's from, you know, the translation or the voice acting, in my opinion actually adds to the overall atmosphere, and you might lose something getting rid of that. So I would go Silent Hill 1 specifically, just because I don't think that's quite at the same level of timelessness that Silent Hill 2, and to an extent Silent Hill 3 is as well. But yeah, use that Fox engine for more than what it's being used for. It's being criminally overlooked at the moment.
Yeah. So Ewan, what would you use the Fox engine or any other engine to remaster or remake a new game or another game?
This kind of got some real life evidence based in it, but you know, at the beginning of the year, we had a rumor going around that EA were keen to do a remake of Knights of the Old Republic. And yes. I know that loads of people are probably screaming right now, being like, how can you remake that game? It's fine anyway. Oh, Disney ruined Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. And to that, I say, ha ha, because I'd actually really want Disney Knights of the Old Republic. I think it would be really cool. One thing that I always enjoyed, I enjoyed the story of Knights of the Old Republic, and I loved the whole setting and everything. And with the advent of the High Republic and the Knights of the Old Republic stuff coming in right now, Disney kind of have a big focus on going back into the past. And even though I'd love the setting of Knights of the Old Republic, I have to admit to you all right now, I found it very difficult when I was 7 years old to get past the turn-based combat, and especially given that I actually played Knights of the Old Republic 2 before I played the first one. So imagine me loving Battlefront, loving Republic Commando, loving the Jedi Knight series, and then spending 3 hours on Knights of the Old Republic 2, not just attacking people with a little blowtorch thing and not like an actual lightsaber. It was infuriating, but you know, I know everything about Knights of the Republic now, and the story is so compelling. Remake that. Make combat more basically take the same approach that, you know, we've seen with Final Fantasy VII. I know people do like the turn-based combat, but for me, if you want to embody the role of a Jedi, you need to give the player as much agency over the combat as possible. So that's how I would do Knights of the Republic.
See, for me, I also had a problem back in the day where I was like, I don't want to use...
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Use this sword. I want to use a blaster to kill this monster in the sewers. Why won't you let me do that? But I think that these games have sort of like, again, like fall into a vacuum of where like, as someone who will edit videos that you will do on Knights Republic, when I have to go there and find this old footage and, like, say, just people just haven't archived footage that I want nicely. So I want there to be a new game just so it'd be nice to use some newer footage and just make my life a lot easier. But also at the same time, it's kind of like money on the table with this. Like, use this as a bridge to the High Republic, as you're saying, and get people sort of like into the idea of Star Wars before the absolute brilliant film that we had in The Phantom Menace. I mean, like, just what happened before that? Were Gungans around back then? Who knows? Josh, is there anything else you wanted to add to this Nazi Republic remake?
Well, I think I need 5 minutes to recover from everything you just said there, Bedroy, but I was the same as you. Like, I was a bit too young for it. I still really enjoyed it at the time, and I have really fond memories of it, and obviously I've gone back to it since. But yeah, I do think, like Ewan said, you could have your cake and eat it too. You could have the old, turn-based style in there still, but you can also have an alternate, like Final Fantasy VII style combat system that would really benefit from you feeling like a Jedi and not just feeling like someone waving a bit of a stick around and hopefully your critical hits get registered. But I feel like over the past 7 years or so, it's just been EA leaving good money off the table, not doing anything with Knights of the Old Republic in the console space, in like a regular story-driven RPG where obviously the MMO is still up and running. But yeah, either remake it, give us Knights of the Republic 3, or just do something with it, because like you've both been saying, you know what I mean, we've got the High Republic coming in. It sounds like it's going to be very in vogue to go back in time and, you know, go to that pre Phantom Menace era, and it is it's a fertile ground, and it's got so much potential that I just want good Star Wars games, and that is arguably the best Star Wars game. So yeah, do it, gauge interest for a proper sequel, and then make the proper sequel.
Arguably, even though Jedi Outcast is the best Star Wars game ever made. But what I want to know from you, though, Josh, is what is your next game on your list?
Well, Benroy, I've actually forgotten, so I'm going to have to skip to my third choice.
I've got a cheat sheet, and it says Time Splitters 2. So what is your next game?
It is. Pretend that didn't happen, everyone at home. It's Time Splitters 2, because, what? Again, like, everyone... I know, what a surprise. Huge, fond memories of that. It was one of the games that got me into multiplayer shooters before I even had an online connection. And I think that game kind of... I think that would benefit from a straight remake, keeping more or less everything the same and kind of selling it for a bit cheaper, just up-res the graphics, don't really change the gameplay too much, maybe add some quality of life features to the combat and, you know, the aiming and stuff like that. But for me, that would work really well as an arcade multiplayer title. It doesn't need to be this, you know, lavish £60, epic blockbuster try to make Time Splitters a big, you know, AAA experience. It doesn't have to be that. It just has to be a really solid shooter that maintains the personality and the style of the original that will hopefully, you know, find an audience online, because that brand of, you know, wacky multiplayer shooting, I think, still holds up, especially in a world that's more or less moved away from modern military shooters being the dominant force. We now have the space to have something a bit more colourful, a bit more arcadey, and a bit more, you know, just tongue-in-cheek, I suppose.
I would take it one step further, and I would do the first three. I would just do all three in one sort of package, simply because I'm really selfish and I want Future Perfect in there. If you don't give me Future Perfect remade, I'm going to get annoyed, because I want Captain Ash to be in all his glory and go, oh, time for fisticuffs, splendid, and stuff like that. I would want
that was your Jar Jar those... impression, what you want about me?
my old British and Jar Jar are very much similar, it turns out. But just to have the whole trilogy there and see the journey through time and how they could bring back all these eras and have them, all the characters and all sort of the maps in one sort of big collection. And I don't know about you, but my favourite, I can't remember if it was in Time Splitters 2 or 3, but it was in 3, but I don't know if it was in 2, the virus mode, where it's kind of like one person has got a green flame and they slowly tag everyone until everyone becomes like the green flame, sort of like an infection mode. And me and my friends would spend hours on that, cheese toasty in hand, controller plugged into the multi-tap, there you go. What do you need? Anything else? No.
A very greasy controller.
Yeah.
I'm not on board with eating food and playing games at the same time. I always fool myself into thinking, oh, I'll order a pizza and then I'll play some video games at the same time. Doesn't work. You can't do two things at once and everything just gets greasy. Your pizza tastes like controller. Your controller tastes like pizza. Why are you eating it? I don't know.
You've just given Domino's or Papa John's their best harebrained scheme ever there, Josh Brown. Jesus.
Hey, it was... you know what? They could have that one of me.
Back in the PS2 days, it was the Attitude Era, but what I just really wanted to saying that also manifested in that era was Resident Evil Outbreak. So these games were, for some reason, Capcom decided to do online games during the era of the PS2 when not every PS2 was compatible. Obviously, you had to buy that brick and shove it in the back and also have some sort of broadband connection in the early 2000s. But like the idea of playing Resistance recently and then playing 3 and 2, I would take the idea that Capcom want to do something online, right? They're desperate to get Resident Evil in an online capacity. So forget Resistance, that's fine, but forget it, it's a bit too floaty. Have the solid controls of 2 and 3 and get 4 people together that can play through a narrative experience.
Oh,
or say,
I'd
like,
love that.
Or maybe like say you can even go down like what we kind of we thought was going to happen with 3, where you've got like maybe the choice of 2 different streets, but everything culminates into an area like the zoo where you fight a giant elephant. Just experiences like that where everything's already, I say, we always say later, like, we imagine we know how games are made, like, everything's already there, just put it together and do it. But just put it together and do it. I want to shoot zombies with friends.
I've been begging out for a Left 4 Dead or Resident Evil thing just for years now. It's one of the best social experiences I've had in video games, is playing those kind of co-op shooters that have some sort of narrative element built in. So yeah, it's something that I dearly miss, and it's something that the last generation of consoles has been missing a lot.
That's what I really hoped Resident Evil Resistance was going to be, and it tried to be to an extent, but yeah, something more akin to, like you said, you and Left 4 Dead. If you can get that kind of narrative style in there, obviously it's not really a story-driven game, Left 4 Dead, but it gives you like that enough of a drive to want to escape, want to get to the next level, and the characters were, you know, compelling in their own right. You had... And if you could have more choice within those levels, like you said, Ben Roy, the choice to go down different streets, then come out at a kind of like choke point after that and fight a big boss or something. Like you said, just do it. Just please, Capcom. You've had decades worth of trying. Can you please do it right?
And they've also made one of the characters canon, which I can't remember because... an article that she writes appears in Resident Evil 7. So just, you know, stop teasing me. And bits of it are also teased in RE3. So either they're going to just tease forever or it's going to come soon.
A little bit of Resident Evil ankle, if you will.
Yeah, well, they give me a bit of ankle every year with a new remake, so I can barely complain. But I don't know, I guess I just want to find out what your next game is.
Yeah, my last one is Simpsons Hit and Run. I mean, I you don't really need to remake that thing from the ground up in any way, shape or form. You could literally just stick a reasonable fee on there. A reasonable fee, EA. And then just put it out anywhere, because that game, one of the best licensed games I've ever played. We've been begging for a sequel / remaster / whatever forever now. Give the Donut Team guys a job, actually. Why don't you actually get them involved to bring in across all the missions and characters they introduced for the mods that they've done on the PC or whatever. Simpsons Hit and Run a remake, you could do so much with it though if you were actually going to go from the ground up and make like a proper remake / sequel. I don't know. This is one of those games I have so much love for, and it's a shame to me that I can't play it whenever I want to right now, because my console's like scattered across the winds of the earth like Yu-Gi-Oh's deck. That was a solid 2003 reference right there. But yeah, like, you know, I just want Simpsons Hit and Run. Give it to me in some form, just some form. And maybe deliver it to me by throwing a football at my groin, maybe.
Just, it's kind of like just do it. But the big question is, what would Disney censor in this game?
Oh,
the football to the groin, that's already gone.
They'll put Daryl Hannah's butt in it just to get rid of it again.
Yeah.
Digital fur technology. You love to see it.
Like, what was the last Simpsons game we had, like, big, proper, like, there wasn't Tap Out or anything like that?
The Simpsons game, the movie game, the 2007 one. Yeah.
God, it's been that long.
Yeah.
Yeah,
13
I think.
13 years.
I think there's scope to maybe do at least one more Simpsons game, but then, like, after that, where do you go from there? What do you do next, Ewan?
I think you should just do all the hit and runs. Just actually, just, you know what? Just have a Simpsons game where it is hit and run, and it's just them taking references from the peak years, the golden years. If you wanted to, I know Simpsons Hit and Run was its own original story, but just let us mimic episodes from the show and just go around and have a great time. Something like that. I know this is mostly nostalgia talking at this point, but at the same time, just give me some sort of Simpsons Hit and Run goodness. I don't care how it's delivered to me, what form it takes. If it's called Simpsons Hit and Run, and I can kick Chief Wiggum until he just goes, "Wah!" then that'll be fine by me.
Yeah, if we're going to have to bow down to our, you know, Disney overlords who now own all of our favorite IP, at least do something good with them, Disney. At least give us some good video games out of them. Like, that's all I'm asking. Like, you own me at this point, practically. So at least chuck me a bone now and again in the form of Hit and Run.
My other suggestion was going to be the Futurama video game, which I played in the form of one solitary demo disc on the official Xbox magazine in, like, 2003 or something like that. And it was terrible. It was absolutely awful. But a Futurama game would be great. That's not even a remake at this point. It's just wishlisting for a new game. I don't even know what I'm doing right now. Someone else go.
But
I didn't even know that existed.
I remember, I think, watching that on the Gaming Network. It was a channel like on Sky somewhere that you'd watch and just watch basically what we have now, where you go to a website and watch some gameplay for 5 minutes. But I think I watched that gameplay cycle forever. But I really love the idea of like side missions and that being moments from episodes of you, and I think that'd be like excellent. But going from something like just has no way to segue to it. I want Splinter Cell the same way I would like the Max Payne series. I think that Splinter Cell really relied on the fact that you can hide in the shadows in this game, and you could just want to imagine what these shadows would look like now. I don't even think you need to tweak the gameplay that much. It's more just, you know, sometimes the cutscenes in that game do look rough now, but give us the first three Adventures of Sam Fisher, like re-sort of master, re-back out there, and maybe treat that as a way for Ubisoft and Yves Guillemot to maybe think like, oh, do we put these games back out there? Because Yves Guillemot is probably gonna sort of whore Sam Fisher out to every one of his games forever. I'm waiting for Sam Fisher versus Rabbids, because I don't know what Yves
did. That already happened, or am I making that up?
They're in this weird like mobile game, aren't they? They've taken the souls of all our favourite Ubisoft things and locked them in this cellar somewhere.
All I'm saying is that Yves has Tom Clancy's core hidden in like a closet with Sam Fisher, and he just feeds them scraps of Rainbow Six Siege's microtransactions to keep them alive a little bit and sustain them. And Tom and Sam are just there like, "Please, Eve, I want a proper tactical single player game, please, Eve." And he's just like, "No, Division meta friendship system," and then just slams the door, and then you just hear him crying.
Because if they remake these, then just Eves, look at what Kojima did. Make the next Splinter Cell just this big. You like big worlds. Have Sam Fisher go to big world like Mr. Snake did. Sneak around some bushes. Go to a dark corridor. Bob's your uncle. But also, I was going to say, Tom Clancy, I think his soul has been stolen for years, because I went outside the other day, and I know we shouldn't do that much, but I was in Morrison's and I saw a Tom Clancy book, Tom Clancy's blah blah blah, written by not Tom Clancy. Like, what are you doing? Why are people buying, like, why do people see, oh, the Tom Clancy name, the Tom Clancy must have written this? Nope, it is Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with the Bourne guy, isn't it? The guy who wrote the Bourne, Robert Ludlum, it's all written by different people. I mean, Tom Clancy's been dead for a decade now, and he probably had no involvement with the games whatsoever, but at the same time, there is a brand integrity to protect, goddammit.
Splinter Cell Big World, then, is that what we're looking forward to? Is that the next sequel?
I mean, Sam Fisher's climbing a tower, whether you like it or not. It just depends where that tower's going to be. But
towers are out now. That's the one thing they've actually acknowledged, man. Like,
Splinter Cell 2 lost in New York.
There's a lighthouse in Chaosphere, isn't there, at the beginning of that game? So he's going to climb that. But I want to know what you would climb, Josh, in your final game.
I would climb back into my own bum to ask for another Resident Evil 1 remake, because I know I've already had one. I've already got Resident Evil 1 regular. I've got Resident Evil 1 remake. I've got Resident Evil 1 remade again, well, remastered for the PlayStation 1. But I think I want to be cheeky and ask for a third one, because I think you could go back to that original game and do it in the style of 2. It doesn't need to be done necessarily, because I think the fixed camera angles and the tank controls in the classic Resi style very much works for Resident Evil Remake. It's one of my favorite games. But if you're going to do 2 and 3, why not do 1? It's more in need of a remake, if that's how we're classing them, than Resident Evil 4 is, which is apparently getting done next. So there is scope there to do it, and there are things you can build on. And yeah, so if we're going to have all of these Resident Evil remakes, give me the first one again, and then it is officially silly, and Capcom has officially jumped the shark. But that's fine for me.
They've jumped it for your bum, though, and that's what counts.
Yep, so straight into the bum.
Piggybacking off your bum, Alex has asked us on Twitter, with the RE engine making the latest Resi games look amazing, does Resident Evil HD hold up, or does it need a remake, and would you recommend playing it now?
Very nice segue that, Ben Roy. I really appreciate that. Great way to integrate the old questions, and that is a good question, and I do recommend it, because it's so, like, different, I think, because it is more of the classic style. I think it's a nice antidote to the more action-heavy style of, you know, 2 and 3. And also, even though it's, what, probably well more... Is it more than a decade? It's probably, like, 15 years old now.
2002.
Yep. It's nearly 20 years old. It still looks gorgeous. It's still one of the most... striking games I've ever played, because I think the textures they use for the backgrounds and stuff, while they might not be the highest resolution now, they still retain a certain painted artistry to them, that for as lovely as the Resident Evil RE engine is now, like, there's something transfixing about the way that game is directed, because it's not just the backdrops, it's not just the character models, it's the way the camera swoops around and the atmosphere of, like, the atmosphere and the claustrophobia and the isolation you feel when, you know, you've got Jill walking and the camera's swooping up behind her as if something's behind your shoulder, then you check behind you and stuff like that. I think it's a very different brand of horror from Capcom's most recent remakes, but absolutely, absolutely worth checking out. If you've never played the original, and even if you have, Resident Evil Remake is my favourite Resident Evil game, so I would always recommend it, because it's good.
Remake is pretty much perfect. Like, I know in our ranking that we have 4 as the best game, but, like, Remake is so goddamn, like, just, it's terrifyingly beautiful. It still plays amazing, even though that some would ask that you're shooting off camera sometimes, but I think that was also part of the terror. And it's on a PS4 now. I think you can buy it for like a 5, or you get it like 7 with 0, which you just play 0, because 0 is also brilliant and pretty much the same sort of like idea of a game. But I would love to see the Spencer Mansion in the RE engine and in 3D, because there's something about that game where, like, it's so excellent that I want a remake, because a remake of this excellent game, and where it all started over that 25 years ago, I need it back, and I need to see that cutscene again, the original zombie turn around and go, yeah, that's just eating your mate, like, just give it
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, yeah, give it to me. Like, that's a game that I would take in any form over and over again, because I do think, like, from a conceptual standpoint, from a mechanical standpoint, it very much holds up and remains one of my favorite games of all time, never mind just, you know, one of my favorite Resident Evils.
Ewan, would you perhaps be willing to play a Resident Evil Remaster Remake HD Remake?
They scare me a lot, so no.
And that's our verdict. So I think that's... And that's 3 games from all of us now, so that's... After this remake sort of craze, we're just now fertilizing the gaming world of, like, more rumors of, like, these are the games we want remade and these are the remasters we need. But we want to know from you guys, what do you want, like, remade, or is there anything that you think that shouldn't be remade or remastered? Let us know down in the comments below, because this is a video podcast. And also tweet us at hashtag WCGP for more questions, because, like, I want to talk about Resident Evil, so if you cram a little Resident Evil one in there, we're going to keep going forever. And I'm sure that Ewan wants some more Simpsons Hit and Run stuff, so just get in there and ask Josh what is actually in his jumper. Josh, don't stand up and show them. They'll find out next time.
No one can ever know.
That's been the What Koch Game Podcast. I've been Ben Roy Turner. You can follow me at Ben Roy Turner. This has been Ewan. You can follow him at
Ewan Ruins Things.
And you can follow Josh Brown at
Josh Brune with 2 O's.
Thank you. All I've got to say now is goodbye there.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. You goodbye there. You do the slide.
Goodbye there.
Goodbye there. I'm still in frame.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.